This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a good day to be together in this time of worship, and it's my joy to welcome you if you're here in the sanctuary or if you're joining us over live stream. It's good to be hearts united in worship as we gather this morning. Just a few announcements to share. If you are worshiping online, we would love for you to register your attendance with the link that's on the screen there, if you'll put that in your browser. And here in the sanctuary, I would invite you to pass down the registration pads that are at the end of each row. Make sure they get all the way down and back again. Another reminder, if you are an official church member, you have a name tag. I'm not wearing mine on my stole. We want to make an extra effort over the next few weeks to remember our name tags. We have some folks who are going to be new on our staff. We're going to be welcoming Reverend Shannon Baxter in just a couple of weeks. And we have guests and visitors and new folks, new members every Sunday. And some of us who've been around a long time still need help remembering names. So I would encourage you to wear your name tags. If you've requested one, there's a magnetic board just between Reed Hall and the women's restroom that has a lot of name tags on it, and yours might be on there. So be sure and give that a check. Right after this service, if you are 50 years old or older, and are looking for a way to help in our community, there is a group of medical students from Vanderbilt and Meharry who are conducting a study down in the gym related to health, vascular health in the legs. And we would love for you to go down there, and it will take about an hour to go through the entire process of the health screening, but we would welcome your participation this morning. As we head into this week, continuing our Lenten journey, on Wednesday night, we want to encourage you to come to supper and storytelling. We'll have supper down in McWhorter Hall like we typically do on Wednesday nights. We do need your RSVPs for that. There's information in the bulletin. And then we'll gather in the theater at 6 o'clock to share stories and hear stories from folks and how God has touched them through the life of this congregation. So we hope that you'll come and join us. It will last an hour, and we'll wrap up by 7 o'clock. Thursday at noon, we'll have another Lenten concert, and Matt Phelps will be offering a musical gifts to us on the piano. Lunch following, you can RSVP for that if you'll find the information in the bulletin. And then next Sunday at 4:30, there will be a choral concert right here in our sanctuary, moving us ever closer to the cross as the season of Lent continues. And finally, mark your calendars for Saturday, April 1st, 9:45, the Easter egg hunt. We want all our kids and parents to be there. This morning, we find ourselves in the 9th chapter of John as Jesus reaches out his healing hands to a man who was born blind. Let us open our hearts and minds to this story and to this time of worship together.
Thank you. are pilgrims on the way to the cross. On this Lenten journey, where do we find God's presence among us?
We find God in ordinary moments of extraordinary love.
Come, let us worship God.
We come to worship God of love and salvation.
Trusting that God's love for us is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of children of God. O God of miracles and mighty deeds, we acknowledge your healing and comforting presence in our lives. We confess that we are drawn towards certainty rather than faith. Open our hearts to a new way of being. Send your anointing and grant us fresh insight for spiritual breakthroughs. Shine the light of your truth into our relationships. And grant us victory over every secret and shame. We thank you for the many ways you heal and renew our lives. And now, O God, we offer to you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Please join with me in the Lenten prayer for illumination. Holy God, as we turn to the Scriptures, open our hearts and minds that we might encounter you in the person of Jesus Christ. Be with us as the Word is read and proclaimed, that we might know you more fully and follow you more faithfully. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel of John. Chapter 9, verses 1 through 17, and verses 35 through 38. As he walked along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said this, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva and spread the mud on the man's eyes, saying to him, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. Then he went and washed and came back able to see. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar began to ask, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some were saying, "It is he." Others were saying, "No, but it is someone like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." But they kept asking him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And then I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also began to ask him how he had received his sight. He said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, then I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This is not a man from God, for he does not observe the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner perform such signs?" And they were divided. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him? It was your eyes he opened." He said, "He is a prophet." Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to invite all the children who are in the sanctuary to come up and join me here for just a moment, if you'd like to. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens and we'll have a moment just for us. Good morning, good morning. Glad to see all of you. Welcome, welcome. Come on up. Aren't these flowers pretty today? I told someone they look like spring is emerging. Doesn't feel like it today, though, does it? It's pretty cold out there, but it's going to get warmer. We just heard a story that Mr. Brandt read for us about Jesus and a man who was blind. Now, Jesus was walking along a road with all of his disciples, and he was walking through a town, so there were lots of people around. But Jesus noticed way over there was a man, and they say he was a beggar. That means that he was probably poor, and he had to ask people for help. Because he couldn't see, he probably couldn't work. So he was way over there, and most of the people walking by didn't notice the man. They just kept going by. Even the disciples, you know, they talked about the man, but they didn't really notice him or reach out to him. But Jesus stopped and talked to the man, and then he healed him. Did you hear the story? He took mud and he put it on the man's eyes. Isn't that cool? And then when the man washed the mud off, he could see. It was amazing for the first time in his life. There's something about that story that reminds me about what Jesus is like. Jesus notices everybody. Every person matters to Jesus. And Jesus is especially good at noticing people who other people don't notice. Noticing people who kind of are on the edges. Maybe people who are hurting, or people who need help. And so that reminds me that as a follower of Jesus, I want to be paying attention to everybody, especially people who might be kind of on the edges and feeling lonely and sad. So next time you're out on the playground, maybe playing with friends or playing at school, if you see someone who's by themselves, they may feel kind of lonely. And I think Jesus will want you to go over and say hi. And tell him your name and maybe say, "Do you want to play with me?" I think that's what Jesus would do. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we know that you don't want anyone to be alone or forgotten, that you had ways of seeing everybody, most especially people who were hurting and lonely or sick or in need. And we want to be more like you, so help us to notice and to reach out in friendship and love. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you all so much for listening. 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds can go with Pastor Maggie to Children's Church. And if you're younger than that or older than that, you can return to your seats with parents. Many of you know that we have a Tuesday morning Bible study. It's a hybrid Bible study. We have a good number of people who come and sit in room 310 and other people about the same number who join us over Zoom. And in that Zoom group, this week we had someone who was Zooming in from South Carolina, someone Zooming in from Florida, and someone Zooming in from Virginia. Sometimes we have two people Zooming in from Virginia. But one of our faithful Virginians is Reverend David St. Clair. His father was Reverend Dr., I believe, Ben St. Clair, who was the pastor of this church from 1967 to 1980. David always has the most beautiful wisdom to share when we're talking about the scriptures. And this week he shared a story from his childhood. Before his father became the pastor at West End, he was a district superintendent in our conference. And back in those days, churches didn't just have one annual charge conference like we have today, to which the district superintendent must come. They had quarterly conferences. And so his dad would go 4 times a year to all of his churches. And apparently, a lot of times, he brought his kids with them. I had the impulse to call my children and say, I know it's hard to be a preacher's kid, but you don't know how good you had it. But David, being David, absorbed a lot of this experience, and he became a preacher himself. So it didn't change, you know, his trajectory as a preacher's kid, shaped it. But at one of these quarterly charge conferences, the church took the 9th chapter of John and did a dramatization of it. And the chapter is long, and it's made up of several scenes, about 6 scenes. And David noticed that for most of the story, Jesus is off stage. He's there at the beginning, he heals the man, and he doesn't come back till the very end. And he said it made him realize that all the stuff that happens in the middle happens when Jesus is not in the room. And that's important. That's a deep insight into this story. Now, this morning, of course, we've really just heard the first part and the last part that feature Jesus. Because of the length of the chapter, we had to cut it down. But I'd like to do a quick run-through of the 6 scenes so you get a sense of what happens. And as we do that, I would invite you to put yourself in the place of the man who was born blind and experience these events through his perspective. So, scene 1. Jesus and his disciples are walking along a road, and they see this man. Somehow they know he was born blind. We find out later he's known as a beggar, probably on the side of the road asking people for help and for money all day long. Jesus sees him and sees a child of God, sees a human being made in the image of God. He has compassion for him. The disciples, on the other hand, see a theological conundrum. They see an object of discussion. So they turn to Jesus and they say, "So tell us, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" They give him 2 choices, A or B. And of course, Jesus, being Jesus, says, C, none of the above. He's not blind because somebody sinned. He's not blind as a punishment for someone's sins. And here's where the English translation is less than helpful, I think. It says in the English, He was born blind so that God's works could be revealed. But that's not even in the Greek. It basically says he was born blind. God's works can be revealed nonetheless. I hear Jesus saying he was born blind. It just happened. These things happened. But God can still work. Just watch. And so Jesus kneels down, I imagine, in front of the man, gets a little bit of dirt and adds his own saliva to it and makes some mud and rubs it across the man's eyes and gently says, "Go and wash in the pool of Siloam." And so the man goes. He finds his way to the pool of Siloam, and he takes that cool, fresh water, and he rinses the mud off, and he opens his eyes, and for the very first time in his life, he sees the color blue, the sky, and the clouds drifting overhead, and the sun sparkling on the surface of the pool, and the people walking by, the faces that he's never known what they look like. Can you imagine the joy, the gratitude, the elation he must feel, the wonder he must be experiencing that someone was able to heal him for the first time in his life? End of scene one. Scene two. I don't know how he gets there, but I think he runs. He runs back to his neighborhood, to the people he's known who have surrounded him his whole life, and now he can see, and he wants to tell them and show them what has happened. And nobody rejoices with him. They're confused. They're like, "Wait a minute." They talk about him rather than to him. And they say, "Isn't this the man who was born blind, used to beg by the side of the road?" They look at him and see the person he used to be. And they can't understand how he could have broken out of that. So finally they do ask him what happened, and he tells them a man named Jesus took mud and I washed and I could see. And they ask, "Where is he?" Maybe they want some of this Jesus for themselves, but he says, "I don't know." He's left the room. End of scene two. Scene three. The neighbors bring the healed man to the Pharisees, to their religious leaders, to these people they look up to as authorities, to help them understand what has happened and how to categorize it and how to make sense of it, to make sure it's really true somehow, maybe. And the Pharisees don't rejoice with him. They aren't amazed that this miracle has happened. They are skeptical. And when they find out that the healing happened that day, on the Sabbath day, well, some of them say, "Well, that checks that box. There's no way this healer is someone who comes from God because he performed this miracle on the Sabbath day." But others said, "Well, wait a minute. Nobody could perform a miracle like this unless he came from God." And they were divided. The man is not a human being made in the image of God who has just experienced this life transformation. To them, he is an issue to be argued over and divided over. Again, they're more interested in talking about him than talking to him and rejoicing with him. The next scene, the Pharisees bring the man's parents to be questioned. They're still not sure this miracle has actually happened, so they want the parents to verify that this man was indeed born blind, that he's their son, and that now he can see. And the parents are scared half to death because they know that it's being talked about now that anyone who follows Jesus might be expelled from the synagogue. And so they say, "Yes, he is our son, and he was born blind, but how he gained his sight, we don't know. He's of age. Ask him." They distance themselves from their child. Even his parents don't rejoice with him. They're so afraid of being kicked out or rejected by their faith community that they will not stand by their child. End of scene. In the next scene, the Pharisees summon the healed man once again. And they're not interested in him. They're interested in Jesus. They want to know more. Tell us about this healer. Tell us what he did. How did he do it? And at this point, the healed man is starting to get frustrated and a little cheeky. Because he says to them, I told you already. Put mud on my eyes. I washed. I was healed. Why are you so interested? Do you want to become his disciples too? They don't like that. And they start to get angry. And so they push and they say, look, this man is a sinner. And the healed man says, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I do know this. Never before in the whole history of the world has anyone ever healed someone who was born blind. And they kick him out. He is excommunicated, removed from the community of faith. It just breaks my heart that all along the way, while Jesus is not in the room, there is no one who celebrates this man's healing. There is no one who sees him as a human being made in the image of God. There is no one who celebrates this transformation. There is no one who accepts his story and receives him as he is. And even more, there is no one who hears his story and wants to follow Jesus too. And so as the story comes to an end in the next to the last scene, we see a man standing alone who has experienced this amazing thing in Jesus, and he is alone. But that, my friends, is when Jesus comes back on the scene. The story says, when Jesus heard that the man had been kicked out, he went and found him. And in his conversation with this man who's been healed, he offers himself in relationship. He gives him a new way to be. He helps him see that his identity does not come from his neighbors or his religious leaders or even his parents. It comes from Christ and Christ alone. And Jesus invites him to become part of the entourage, part of the community that is building itself around Christ, where all people are seen as created in the image of God, where everyone has had an experience of grace with Jesus, and the doors are wide open to welcome more. An invitation in this story is to find ourselves in it. And I know that many of you find yourself in the place of that blind man, knowing what it is to be rejected or marginalized or invisible. I think the invitation for us as a church is to be wherever Jesus is, to make sure that Jesus hasn't left the room, that like Jesus, we have our eyes wide open to see those on the margins who might be invisible or rejected or alone, to offer relationship of love and grace, with joy to continue following this healer, our Savior, who surprises us every day and who is willing to welcome whosoever will join in. My friends, I want to be where Jesus is. May this story remind us and invite us as we go back out into the world to go with our hearts and our eyes wide open. Thanks be to God.
Having heard the word read and proclaimed, let us join together, stand and join together in the affirmation of faith found on page 883 in your hymnal or on your screen for those joining us live stream. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to proclaim justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. The rosebuds on the table remind us that we have had two births in our congregation. One of the roses on the table celebrates the birth of Walker Harris Dale on March the 1st to Caroline and Aaron Dale, and he is welcomed by his siblings, Hawkins and Evie Claire Dale. The other rose on the altar table celebrates the birth of Carter Ruth Donald, who was born on March the 11th to Rebecca and Chris Donald, and she is welcomed by her sister, Wesley Grace Donald. And we've had a death in our congregation, a memorial service for Liz Gobble, who passed away on March 7th, will be held on Monday, March 20th at 10 a.m. at Harpeth Hills Funeral Home. And as we come to our prayer time this morning, I invite you to lift up both your silent and spoken prayers. And if you would like to share them with the pastoral team, to pray for throughout the week. Please follow the link under the Contact Us on the website, or if you are here in the congregation, to locate the gray cards in the pew in front of you and place those in the offering plate as it is passed later in the service. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God of love and compassion, we give you thanks once again for your love and your Son, Jesus, whose life, ministry, death, and resurrection revealed your abiding, grace-filled love. He has opened our eyes to the ways in which your love can shape our thoughts, our actions, our words, and our relationships with you and with one another. You have made known through him that love is a matter of our openness to you, the engagement of our minds, and the stirring of our hearts, and also the focus of our wills. It is your love that opens our eyes to see the people and the world around us through the lens of your love and your mercy and the goodness you seek in this your world. It alerts us to the many needs that impact those we know, those we relate to in our daily living. that communicate the communities in which we live, and the national and world connections, and the turmoil in the world around us. We lift to you, particularly today, the need for your abiding and consoling presence with persons who are coping with the loss of a loved one or a broken relationship, or are sorting through difficult life decisions. May your love and sustain and bring healing to the many who are ill in body, in mind, and in spirit. Provide guidance and a spirit of love for those who provide the care and the presence that foster healing. Be present with those who provide leadership in the decision-making of government, be it local or within the state and nation, as well as in the world. Open their eyes to the ways that allow your reconciling love to condition their decisions and their relationships with one another. God, help us all to see you more clearly and to follow you more nearly and to love you more dearly as we follow the one who sent us, whom you sent us, to show us the way of faithfulness to you. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught his disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now we have a ministry moment, and Bobby Lee Smith will share that with us.
Morning. My name is Bobby Lee Smith, and I am the executive director for the Restoration Point. This is a nonprofit that was started back in 2009 at McKendree United Methodist Church with the purpose of serving the homeless and unhoused population there in downtown Nashville. Under the Restoration Point, we have three ministries, one being what we call the 5 and 2 meal, and this is a weekly luncheon that we provide for our guests who come in at 11:30 every Tuesday throughout the year. We also have what we call our clothes closet, in which we collect clothes throughout the year, and every Thursday at 10 o'clock we provide clothes for our unhoused guests who we serve. And then thirdly, we converted part of the church in the sub-basement into what we call a temporary shelter, where we actually bring 8 guys off of the street, provide surrounding service with them, and help them get back into wholeness and into permanent housing. And then just recently, with our temporary shelter, which opened back in 2009, we partnered with Community Care Fellowship, in which they received some funding from the city. This is part of the mobile housing navigation funding that they received, that we converted this shelter into a temporary navigation center, in which they actually manage it at this time. I'm here today to thank you all for inviting us to come and share our story. We want to invite, and I challenge you to become part of what we do. part of what we do is during the lunch and also during the meal, during the meal and during the clothing closet, we typically get about 60 individuals who come in and take part of that. And we take that time to bring in other services, anywhere from the hair being cut, working with Meharry Medical, in which we gave out the COVID vaccine. And then also we give out dental and health screening during those times. And so we want to partner with West End United Methodist Church to become part of what we're doing. And you can also help us financially. From what I understand today, the Litton collection will go to help support the restoration point. And so again, I just want to thank you. We will have a table set up after service so I can share more details about this ministry. And we just want to, again, thank you all and invite you to be part of this ministry. Thank you.
Now offer our tithes and our offerings to God in gratitude and thanksgiving so that we can continue the ministries to which God has called us in this time and in this place and through this community of faith. Those of you joining online, we invite you to give via the instructions on the screen, and those of you who are in the here in the sanctuary will receive through the offering plates being passed. Let us give to God, who has been so gracious in giving to us. May we now have the offering.
150 years, believers have been gathering as the congregation of West End to sing of God's amazing grace, all the verses of God's amazing grace. And today we have gathered, we have been seen by a God who loves us unconditionally and without fail. May we go from this place to see others, to welcome others, to proclaim with our lives God's amazing grace.